Muy buenas, soy Gaby Moreno y te doy la bienvenida al episodio número 140 de Los Androides. El podcast en el que te contamos técnicas, tips, herramientas, conceptos, hábitos y todo aquello que te va a hacer mejorar tu seniority como Android Developer. Y hoy tenemos a Philip Lackner. Y hoy el programa viene cargadito, porque vamos a hablar, bueno, voy a hablar con Philip Lackner en una entrevista que no ha sido en valenciano, a pesar de los rumores que aparecieron por ahí, es en inglés, evidentemente, se le entiende muy bien, es decir, no te preocupes, que sirve para practicar el listening y además es que se le entiende muy bien, ya lo verás. Y en esta entrevista, en esta charla, nos va a hablar sobre su background, sobre por qué y cómo y cuándo empezó a enseñar a programar, también los proyectos actuales en los que se encuentra envuelto, sobre si él recomienda o no la creación de contenido para Android developers, es decir, que Android developers creen contenido para otros Android developers, en qué caso esto tiene sentido. Nos dice también unos cuantos tips barra hacks sobre productividad. También nos da su opinión sobre las academias online, si están bien o no lo están tanto. Ahora enseguida lo veremos. Algo que se ha comprado por menos de 100 euros, que ese es un game changer. Ya verás, es interesante. Unos casos de uso sobre eso en específico, no quiero dar más pistas. También nos recomienda un libro, un curso. Y nos cuenta una anécdota muy curiosa. La verdad es que es muy graciosa. Está muy guay, tienes que escucharla. Y también nos habla sobre su futuro, sobre los proyectos que tiene en mente. Y bueno, se me olvidaba que también nos recomienda futuros entrevistados. Muy interesantes. Nos recomienda un par. De aquí un rato lo escucharás. Y antes de empezar directamente con la entrevista en sí, comentarte que los Androides Premium he hecho una encuesta sobre, digamos satisfacción, ¿no?, de el valor percibido y todas esas cosas. Y bueno, simplemente comentarte que me ha ratificado algo que, me alegro muchísimo de que el valor percibido de la membresía es muy alto y eso es una cosa que, me llena de orgullo y satisfacción. Estoy muy contento y evidentemente, pues lo he dicho un montón de veces, que el precio va a seguir subiendo y tal, y es que es lógico, porque es que el precio estamos... que no falta tanto para llegar ya que lleve un año la membresía. Cada vez hay más valor, más contenido, más de todo. Sé porque se va iterando continuamente. Y evidentemente el precio inicial es que no tiene sentido. Y no tiene sentido el precio actual. Es decir, empezó valiendo 10 euros, subió a 12, ahora son 14. Pero es que... es una locura lo que... Y de hecho me lo han ratificado. Y además en toda confianza no voy a desvelaros nada lo que me han dicho. Porque es una... Aparte es anónimo lo que pregunté. Pero vamos, además les dije que podían hablar libremente. Porque la gente que está adentro no se le sube el precio. Es decir, el que ha apostado desde un momento inicial, pues... está pagando 10 euros, que era el precio que tenía en un inicio, pero sí, claro, ahora cuando suba el precio, lo que va a subir, pues el que entre ahora, pues va a poder seguir disfrutando de ese precio. Pero bueno, no me quiero enrollar más, que la entrevista de hoy, wow, lo inspiradora que es, y además es que un placer, un orgullo, el poder entrevistar a una figura tan relevante dentro del ecosistema Android como es Philip Lackner. Así que sin más dilación, vamos con la entrevista. Hi and welcome to Los Androides. Today I am not going to speak in Spanish as you are listening. We are going to speak in English because we have a really, really, really amazing interview with... Maybe you know because you have read the title of this episode. But just in case, we have today Philip Lackner.
Philip Lackner is a native Android developer with more than 11 years of coding experience. In fact, he started coding when he was 13. Right now, he is teaching native Android developers, as you for sure know, with Kotlin on his YouTube channel and helping programmers to improve their mindset in his Instagram account. By the way, I took a look 1 hour ago, and his YouTube channel, Philip Lackner, has right now 117,000 subscribers. Not bad. People say that bugs don't survive too long in his presence, but better that he tells us. Welcome, Philip. Who are you and what's your background?
Thank you, Gabby, for having me. You already teased it a little bit. I am a native Android developer from Germany. I started coding, yes, as you said, back then when I was 13, very early. I didn't do Android for all the time. First of all, I got into Visual Basic. I did a little bit of game development with Unity. I did Java development. I tried it all out. And I very early then decided that I wanted to study computer science, that was my thing, and that I just enjoyed coding. I'm just a very logical person, and that just fit very well to me. Then, yeah, around, I think when I was 19 or so, I started going to university, having my computer science degree. I kind of liked it. But during that time, I realized it's probably not what I want, that after this degree, I just want to work in a company for 40 years of my life, and that this is how my life will look like. Even though I enjoy coding, I was always a very freedom-driven person, and I had in my mind that I wanted to do something on my own, that I wanted to have my own thing, but I never really had a clear plan. So my plan was just to finish studying, get in a job, and then see what happens. But then I actually got into making some content for social media, and that turned out better than I expected back then. And that is what I do nowadays. So I think for the past 4 years, I'm fully into building native apps. I'm teaching that on my YouTube channel to people around the world. I'm a freelancer, so I also do consulting in the native Android development niche. And I also have courses which I sell. I also help freelancers to get started with their business. That's pretty much what I do, what I love. And yeah, that's my main business and my main purpose right now.
Mm-hmm. Very well, very well. Amazing, Philip. Do you know why did you start to spread the word about coding, about to teach?
Back then, it was actually quite a funny story. My best friend started an Instagram page about, I think it was recycling trash, something completely unrelated. But he started an Instagram page and used a tool for that, which is called Canva. I'm sure some of the people who have something to do with content creation will know Canva. It's like you can drag and drop vector graphics, and it's very simple tool to create slides for Instagram. So these typical slide posts. I just looked how he did that, and it looked cool. And I wanted to do the same, but with a topic I was interested in, which was just coding back then. But then I just decided, hey, let's do it for Android, because I think I got a little bit into Android development for that. But when I started my initial Instagram page about that, I think I did Android for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I just used that to create content about what I learned, which was pretty cool, because with creating that content, I learned Android, and yeah. I had that feedback from people. I had people who commented on my posts that they enjoy it, and that kept me motivated to just learn Android, get better at that. And I never really had the intention back then to make this a business. It's just something I enjoyed. But over time, more and more people came to me and say, hey, Philip, why don't you make a YouTube channel? And I was like, really? No, you don't make a YouTube channel right now. But they got me. I got a decent mic, which I'm still using right now, and started a YouTube channel. And with that YouTube channel, I, again, kept on learning Android. I just learned a new topic and then made videos about that topic, which was a pretty good way to learn. People apparently liked my way of explaining, which is why I also kept going on YouTube. And yeah, at some point, people asked me, Philip, do you also have courses which I can buy? And I was like, you want to give me money for that? Because I was still studying. I was having a job as a cashier for, I think, 400 euros a month, and I was working 50 hours a month. And then people wanted to give me money for my courses, which I loved. And I could just do that from my home, from my desk. And that was amazing. I started making a course in Udemy, and that is just how the ball got rolling. And over time, I realized, okay, I could actually make that an actual business and live from that. At the time when I finish university, when I get my degree, to not need to go into a real job after that. And that was my goal during my studies. I just kept the time I invested into my degree at a minimum so that I still get it, but not very well. But the rest of the time really went into my YouTube channel, into building my business. And yeah, luckily I was then able to live from all that after I got my degree. And now I'm super happy.
Very well, very well. Super interesting. And now, currently, what are the current projects you are involved?
Current projects in terms of what I plan for my followers, or
as you want.
So a big project right now is that over time I realized I was only teaching these technical skills. So I was teaching how you do something specific in Android. And all that is great. That is, those are skills you need in the industry. But I realized that what most people are lacking to get a job or to start as a freelancer, just to start earning money with coding, are their soft skills, because they don't work on that. They only focus on their technical skills and live in their technical world. They don't focus on skills like, how do you sell yourself in front of a company, in front of a client? How do you even approach them? How do you communicate with them? How do you even write a proposal that is convincing for them? And all these are skills you need in any kind of domain, and which I have kind of acquired by reading a lot of books and applying these then as a freelancer, since that is also what I currently do, just to be sure that I also have this real life experience, because I just can't go there and teach you how to become an industry ready developer if I never worked in the industry myself. That is why I'm freelancing. And now my current biggest project is just that I created a freelance academy where I want to build a community of mobile freelancers and teach them how they can actually start earning money with their craft, with what they love as Android developers, as iOS developers. I'm very active there. It's a Discord channel where I answer questions. It's a big video portal where you learn the soft skills as a freelancer and just help them to build a business and feel more free as a developer, because for me it was really life-changing, and I now want to help others that this is also life-changing for them.
Mm-hmm. Very well, very well. Super, super cool. And to be focused on the people that want to be freelance and not working for a company. Well, there are many companies that it is super cool to work, but I think it is one thing that many people want to do, that it is work as a freelancer, know the profession, and being able to working from home and being free, let's say. Cool, cool. About the content creation, well, you have commented that you started more or less. It was a way to learn, sharing what you have. But what do you think? You would recommend the creation of content for everybody, or for what do you think about this topic?
I do recommend. It depends what you want. If you just want to get a job at a company and you have decent technical skills and you can also acquire the soft skills and what you need for that, then you don't need a social presence. You will find a good job if you're a good developer.
Yes,
but
if you want
more than that, if you maybe want to start freelancing, if you want to be perceived by others and really become recognized as an Android development expert, for example, or as any other expert in any other domain, then I think it's at least something anyone who wants that should try out. I don't think it is something for everyone, because it is really a lot of work, and especially especially the start time until you get to see some kind of success is very long. You do a lot of free work. And I think if you don't enjoy this process, if you don't use this as a tool to learn, like I did back then it'll be really hard to maintain that and stay consistent. So I would definitely try it out. But if you notice after 3, 4, 5 months, this is really not enjoyable, and completely ignoring how many followers you got in that time, because it's very likely you won't get many. But if you really say to yourself, I hate making content and this is really not for me, then yeah. leave it. Because then I don't think you also won't get successful if you can't enjoy this process. And that's not a problem because there are different ways to stand out. But social media is a very good way to stand out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So totally agree. And totally agree with that there are tons of developers that they don't create content and they are very, very, very good developers. It is not required to be, in fact, there is very time consuming. So if you invest the time just learning, maybe, but well, it is very interesting. You were talking about that creating content, it requires an effort, but you create many, many content and very, very good content that it is not, I don't know how to say, but it is super cool prepared, super cool edited and super focused. Oh, it is clear. It is amazing. So maybe you have a tip or something for the productivity, talking about productivity for people, or what do you do for being as productive as you are?
I get this asked a lot, especially in podcasts. This question is always in. And I'm really not a friend of trying very hard to find these productivity hacks, trying the perfect program to track your work, because I don't think that exists. There might be some tools that help you to do your work better. But I think what counts most is that you have a goal that excites you. Because if you have a goal that excites you, you will put in the work that is necessary to get there. And that is my main driver. And of course, I also have to say that I have an amazing team of freelancers who help me with the content. So I have someone who edits my videos. I have someone who makes my thumbnails. And that is something I nowadays can just afford thanks to all my customers who get my courses, my freelance customers, and things like that. But you still have to have some kind of goal if you want to get productive, because if nothing motivates you, you will be distracted by your phone, you will be distracted by some kind of friend who asks you to go for lunch, and you won't have that clear focus which you really need to be productive, especially in coding, because if you're distracted, because if you don't get into this flow state, then you have a problem as a coder, because then you won't really get productive. And if you are in that flow state for maybe 30 minutes and you then get distracted because a friend calls you and you accept the phone call, then yeah, you're just out. And to then get back into this flow state, every programmer will know that it just takes a while. And that is wasted time. You won't get back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think it is the best advice. The best advice. Yes. Okay. I have for here one topic. It is, well, you have talked it a little bit, but about in general about online academies. What do you think? They are good enough for a person that, for example, we have a person that wants to be a developer, or a developer that wants to improve their skills. Going to an online academy, do you think is the, well, I don't want to bias the answer. What do you think about online academies?
I think it's a help. If you're kind of a person who needs other people to learn with, then I think it makes sense to look for maybe public Discord service where you can find other people you can connect with, where you can ask your questions. I still would see that you can solve your own problems alone, because then you're just the most independent. But it can just help to motivate yourself if you have friends who might be on the same journey as you are. And then, yeah, I would definitely look for such communities. I also have a public free Discord server where I think there are 2,000 or 3,000 Android developers nowadays. They can just exchange, ask questions, answer questions, help each other. It's pretty cool.
Super cool. Well, one question that maybe it's interesting, that something game changer of less than 100 euros that you have bought the last year.
Yeah, what I bought for less than $100. I would say ChatGPT Plus subscription. That was a real game changer because I really use that on a daily basis. The GPT-4 version you get with that Plus subscription is much better than the GPT-3 version. And I know there are a lot of people who want to teach you on Twitter how to make like 10K a month just with AI. That won't happen. But I think if you already have a working business, then it can help you to save a lot of time. And in that saved time, you can, again, do something AI can do to earn more money. So these $20 a month, I got back probably 40, 50 mm-hmm. times.
Yeah. What are the use cases that you use the ChatGPT or the OpenAI?
There are a lot of use cases. Especially as a content creator, I always ask GPT to brainstorm ideas for me for content. That is huge. Like, most of the ideas are trash, but if I ask for 50 ideas and 5 are good, then I got 5 more ideas and I can just ask for more. That's mm-hmm. super cool. Whenever I try to break down a complex topic into simple terms, and I always also ask GPT to explain that. And then I can just take the bits that I like from that answer and use these for my videos. That is great. As a freelancer, I also used it recently since... Yeah, if you're working with some bigger offers, then you usually write some kind of PDF offer around 2 to 3 normal pages, where you just describe what you offer, who you are, why you're the right person to do it, what's the price, what's the payment terms. And that is very long. It needs to be in very formal English. And especially if you're not a native English speaker, then you can spend a lot of time with writing these offers. So what I did is I just phrased it in my own words, what needs to be in this offer, asked ChatGPT to give me the offer as a formal, the formal letter or formal pages. And it just did that. And most of it was perfect. I really just needed to adjust a few little things. And that probably saved me 3-4 hours of work. So that was huge. There's just infinite use cases you can have with ChatGPT.
Yeah. You know what? I think everybody that talk about the subscription to ChatGPT says the same, that it is a no-brainer decision to subscribe to ChatGPT. Very well. Well, there is one book that you want to recommend to the people that are watching or listening to us?
I found it very hard to recommend coding books because I personally, I don't read any coding books. I have read some, but I just find them, at least if they are domain specific, like for example, with JPEG Compose and Android, they're just outdated in half a year. That's just because the tech world is moving so fast. There are some books that never really get outdated. So back then, what I really liked is Clean Code, which just teaches you the core software development fundamentals. So not to be religious about a specific architecture, but it really comes down to these core fundamentals like modular design, separation of concepts. That is what makes architecture good. And if you understand these fundamentals, then you can work on any code base and improve it. So some people really just deep dive into clean architecture and then become religious about that, which is just a way of applying these principles, but it's not the only way of applying these. So I think you should really focus on the fundamentals, learn these because they don't get outdated, and then you can just work in any code base and improve it. So Clean Code. Other than that, I've read Domain-Driven Design. That was pretty cool. These are all older books, but just those books that really teach you these fundamentals about software development, because that isn't bound to any specific framework which gets outdated very quickly. So I would focus on these.
Makes sense. And a course?
A course? Of course, my own courses. I honestly can't tell you any course because I don't watch any courses myself. When I learn, then I just research a topic and then just try around as much as I can. So I just play around in my IDE. But I think especially if you're a beginner or intermediate developer, then courses are a very great way to get a quick impression of a big topic. I can't recommend any others since I don't watch any.
But your courses are very, very, very good ones. Some anecdote to you about something related to programming work that you want to share, that it can be shared or not?
So this is some kind of my story I have to tell. Maybe something funny, which many people don't know or don't realize. Back then, when I recorded videos for YouTube, then when you record videos, you often have the problem that there's some kind of IDE issue or so you run into when you record, and you didn't expect that. So you're like, okay, let's now run the program, and then everything will work, and then boom, error. And you don't know what that error is. And very often that happened to me, and I then you just paused the recording and fixed the error off cam. But when I then got back into cam, I actually acted surprised that this error came, but I already know how to fix it. That is something I did back then, which is kind of funny when I think about it now. Yeah, but I think that's a funny story from my work life back then as a YouTuber.
Super cool. Super cool. Well, we have been talking about your background, about your current projects, some stuff. What about the Philip of the future? What are your future projects?
So I will probably limit the time a little bit I spend for freelance work and fully focus on working on my core business. So that means making developers better developers. So I will focus on things like making more courses. I have a course about testing planned, which I will probably launch in a few months. I will put in a lot of work in the academy I mentioned. So I want to make this really big and really have an impact for mobile development freelancers, help them to get started, help them also have the same life-changing effect I had. And other than that, that's pretty much where I want to get. My dream is just to have a small to medium-sized company here with a local team of employees, maybe 5 to 15 employees. And we just make other developers' lives better by just making them better developers. That is my goal.
That's amazing. Very well, very well. Well, we are arriving to the end of this interview. But before finishing, do you know one person? Do you want we can get to the podcast?
Mm-hmm. A person I always liked to interact with is Don Felker, who I also was in the podcast a few years ago, but I always enjoyed talking to him. Very good freelancer and consultant who helped me a lot to get started in the freelance world. I have to say thank you to him a lot of times. And someone I found very interesting is Rafael Costa, who I just talked to a few times on Twitter, but I always like his tweets and his takes on Twitter, because it's very rare, I think, that developers on Twitter are actually think rationally and not emotionally attached to a specific technology. And I think he always tries to see your point of view and then mentions his point of view, but never in an insulting way. Because on Twitter, there are a lot of people who just become religious about one specific technology and then blame anyone else who's not with their opinion. And I think he just thinks very rationally about these things. Even if you disagree with him, he thinks about that if it makes sense. I think that is a characteristic that's pretty rare in the software world, and what I really appreciate with him.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing. Well, before finishing, thank you so much, Philip. Off the record, I was telling to him that this is the first episode that we do in English, and I can't imagine a better person than Philip.
It's really an
honor. Thank you so much for this. Before finishing, I'm pretty sure that everybody that listens this podcast knows you, but just in case, social networks, web, where people can find you.
My biggest channel is just YouTube. So if you are just a native Android developer or someone who wants to get into technologies like KMM and build iOS apps with Kotlin, then my channel is a pretty good first contact point. If you are someone who says, I just want to know more about the overall life of a developer, of a freelancer, of a business owner in this niche, then check my Instagram page, which is _PhilipLackner_. There I share some stories about my everyday work life. I share short videos with quick tips about development in general. And yeah, I think those are the main two entry points for my life.
Very well, very well. So thank you so much, Philip, and see you soon. One big hug.
Thank you so much for having me, and see you soon.
Bye. Y hasta aquí la entrevista con Philip Lackner. La verdad es que, wow, ¿sabes? Es majísimo. Es majísimo, Philip. No nos conocíamos anteriormente. Estoy súper, súper, súper agradecido. Además, que os digo que es majísimo. Es que me cayó estupendísimamente. Es súper amable, súper atento, súper, súper. Bueno, ya lo habéis escuchado, ¿no? Se le nota, bueno, y ya lo conoceríais. Igual alguien, un porcentaje mínimo de los que escucháis este podcast no lo conocíais. Bueno, si no lo conocíais, me alegro de haberlo traído al podcast, porque es una persona que comparte muchísimo contenido de muchísima calidad y sus formaciones son más que recomendadas. Y bueno, ahora es tu turno. Si quieres aportar tu granito de arena a la comunidad y hacer que este episodio del podcast, y en general el podcast, llegue a más gente, a más Android developers como tú y como yo, dale una valoración de 5 estrellas en Spotify si lo estás escuchando desde plataforma, o pues le das un me gusta si lo estás escuchando desde iVoox o desde donde quiera que lo escuches. Seguro que tienes alguna manera de hacer que el podcast llegue a más gente, ya sea compartiéndolo, ya sea recomendándolo de viva voz. Incluso abres la ventana, ¡escuchad los androides! Estaría guay, ¿no? Y bueno, por supuesto, si quieres dar un paso más en tu carrera profesional como desarrollador Android, si quieres mejorar tu seniority como Android developer, entra en gabymoreno.soy. ¡Un abrazote! ¡Ey! Y estamos por aquí. Otro off topic que... En el episodio pasado hubo uno, si no lo escuchaste, puedes ir al episodio pasado al final y lo verás. Comentarte que he dejado una redirección, evidentemente, a un formulario en gabymoreno.soy/secreto, así, sencillo, gabymoreno.soy/secreto, si tú pones eso en tu navegador, te va a llevar a un formulario en el que puedes preguntar lo que queráis, me podéis preguntar lo que os apetezca y pues quizá podríamos utilizar esta sección así como off topic para resolver este tipo de preguntas, ¿no? No sé, ya según el tipo de preguntas y el tipo, bueno, ya veremos, vosotros preguntad lo que queráis y ya veremos lo que hacemos. Pues lo dicho, con ese off topic, comentarte que si vais a gabymoreno.soy/secreto, podéis hacer una pregunta y utilizaremos el podcast para responderla. ¿Ok? Venga, un abrazote.